It is 5:06 on the Central Coast on this Monday, May 10th, 2021. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for tuning in. We're only halfway through the broadcast today. I remind you that State Senator John Laird will be with us tomorrow. In about an hour, Matt Hoy is going to be here. There was interesting debate taking place in the journalism world about whether or not the federal government should be subsidizing newspapers. Holy cow. Anyway, Matt has his website, hoystory.com. He'll be with us during the 6 o'clock hour. This hour, you may have heard something about this subject. There is a group now called Central Coast Families for Education Reform. And among other things, they are backing the recall of three members of the Lucia Marr School Board. Here to talk about the group and the recall, we welcome to this broadcast from the organization, Mike Mulder and Kristen Becker-Brittingham. Hi, folks.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Mike, take a second. Just talk a bit about who you are. Introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
You bet. So I'm a parent that has six kids that live within the district.
Okay.
We've been here in Lucia Marr for a couple years. We are part of this, or I'm part of this group, Central Coast Families for Education Reform. I'm the vice president.
All right.
And I'm here today to talk to you about our recall.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. Kristen, what should we know about you?
I'm also part of the community, have been in Lucia Marr for many years. We have four kids, two of them already out of the system, and twin girls who are freshmen at Arroyo Grande High School. And I've been super active all the way through them going through school with coaching, PTA, different committees I've been a part of, and became a part of this organization just because I was unhappy with how it was working out for our community.
Is there a website or Facebook page for this group?
Yes, Central Coast FER .org. So okay. Central Coast Families for Education Reform is what that stands for. So Central Coast FER .org.
All right. So Mike, give us an overview. What's happening here? You and others have decided to recall three members of the school board?
That's correct. Yep.
Give us a talk about this. What's going on?
So the recall process we are currently in the step where we have filed our notice of intent, and the county has approved that. So we're moving to the next step with collecting signatures here shortly.
How many do you need?
We're going to need over 8,300 signatures.
And does it have to be just people in Lucia Marr?
Yeah. So if you're a registered voter and you live within the boundaries of Lucia Marr and you're over 18, you can sign our petition.
How do people sign the petition, please?
So there's going to be a variety of methods. We'll have the ability for people to print it off our website and sign it, send it in. We'll also have folks out in the community who you can meet with, and you can go and sign it that way. And there'll be more announcements about those locations. And then we'll also have folks going door-to-door meeting with people who have expressed an interest in signing as well.
So my understanding, Kristen, is that you're targeting three school board. There are seven school board members. You're targeting three: DeSantos, Don Stewart, and Colleen Martin.
Yes.
Why just three?
Well, the entire school board, we get this question quite a bit because, yes, the whole school board has basically voted the same. They're all saying no several times this year on reopening our schools. These three in particular have been the most partisan of the three. School boards are supposed to be nonpartisan. Keep politics out of it. It's supposed to be advocating for the students in the community. And they have not done that, these three in particular. And you can go to our website that I mentioned, and you can see some clips that we have uploaded to that website of some of the comments these three have made in particular just about their political views when they're in the middle of a school board meeting. They're sharing it. Yeah. So
if you're successful with these three, will you go after the other four, or is this a wake-up call for those four?
I think our main objective is a wake-up call to understand that we're voting people in to advocate for the community at large. Mm-hmm. And if these three are so politically driven and not looking at how they could support the parents and the children in their community, they're letting the community down.
And Mike, also explaining to people, do you have to run candidates to replace these three? Is that part of the process?
So if our petition is approved, meaning we have the number of signatures that the county requires, and they verify those signatures, the next step is to call an election. And the county will then call an election, and anyone who is, you know, eligible can then run for the board. So it's not our job to replace these members. It's just our job to recall them.
Yeah, would you run for office, Mike? Would you think about it?
I don't have any plans to run for the board.
Yeah, what about you, Kristen?
If it were necessary and nobody else is running for that seat that would become vacant in that district, then I would consider it. It's not my end goal.
And I'm just thinking out loud here. What happens if nobody steps forward? The three are still recalled.
It's not
contingent on someone running to replace them.
Right. It's not contingent on that. I think there's plenty of people in our community that will be stepping forward to fill these seats because we are a small committee that have kind of got the ball rolling here, but we have a lot of people that we have like over 900 members on our page, on our Facebook page of, you know, answering our questions. And
sure. We'll take your phone calls from my guests after news at the bottom of the hour. I want to give them a chance to be heard. And Mike, address the figure quoted in the Tribune. The school board is saying that if you had the special election, it would cost $350,000. Is that money well spent, and do you agree with that figure?
So that's the county's figure, and we're going to take them at their word. So if that's the cost, that's the cost. I think that when you look at the cost of a special election, you have to consider the other costs that we haven't talked about. So far, within the past year, we've seen that over 400 students have left Lucia Mar, which is, you know, just above and beyond a huge number previous years. And so,
and explain that, please. Why did they leave? Did they go to private school? Did they leave the area? What?
Some are homeschooling because they're just frustrated with what's been happening with our school board and our district decision making. Some of them have. We have one of our committee members that said it's the difference between the haves and have-nots. Those that can afford it are going to private schools, which is really unfortunate for those that can't afford those choices. And then the parents that can't afford to have the time to stay home with their kids and homeschool, those are the ones with our failing grades and everything. So there's a lot of stuff at stake in our community. And, $350,000 is not anything to sneeze at, but you look at what the cost is of, I think Michael came up with it. There was, if we replace 30 students and we get the school gets the money for those students that would come back, that's $350,000.
Is she right there, Mike?
Yeah. So the estimates are about 12,000 per student. So that's what we've come up with in our research. And I think that the district has shared similar figures in their meetings. So I guess that's one payback, or if you look at it that way. Also, I think you have to look at the fact, like Krista was talking about, the inequity. I mean, a lot of parents who can't afford have had to take off their jobs. They've had to quit their jobs, stay home to care for their kids if they can't afford private school. And so, you know, we've heard from a lot of parents who are now, you know, stay-at-home teachers, essentially, you know, watching their kids. So I think that, you know, lost revenue also you had the lost revenue, you had the parents' income. And then I think you have to look at the fact that kids have been out of school. Some kids will be out of school for over a year by the time.
17 months they'll be out of school by the time we go back in August.
In the fall. Mm-hmm. And I think that you look at the lifelong learning loss. I mean, I think people don't realize how much education the kids are losing. I think when you look at the failing grades for our district, you really see the impact of learning loss. And these are things that kids aren't going to easily recover.
Are any of the school board members up for re-election in 2022? I mean, is there anything to be gained by just waiting for a year and running in a traditional election against them?
So I think the timing is a good question. So right now, we and our group has actually looked at this. I mean, if you go back to even prior to this school year, we had an election during the school year, and you could have registered for that back in August. But we took parent surveys, the district took parent surveys, and parents were overwhelmingly in favor of returning back to school full time. And we expected that the district would honor those parents' wishes. But in October, in November, and throughout the year, they were given opportunities where kids could have gone back to school earlier than they did, and the district chose not to. And so here we stand today where we're still in a hybrid mode, and both the CDC and CDPH have relaxed their regulations to the point where kids could return full time, and our district continues to choose not to.
Let me stop and get this break, and we'll come back with my guests and give them a chance to elaborate on their concerns about some of the incumbent members of the Lucia Morris School Board. They represent the group Central Coast Families for Education Reform. I'm Dave Congleton. Stick around. You're listening to Hometown Radio. Mm-hmm. 5:20 on News Talk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. We will welcome your phone calls after news at the bottom of the hour. I promise you a chance to participate, but let's give them a chance to be heard. They are members of the Central Coast Families for Education Reform. Kristen Becker-Brittingham and Mike Mulder here. They want, and other people do as well, they want the recall of three specific members of the school board. Why not the superintendent?
The school board are the ones who are elected.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The superintendent is, I think, just placed.
Mike, for folks just tuning in, let's remind people how they can sign the petition.
So when we receive approval from the county, we'll be formally accepting signatures. In the meantime, you can go to our website, and we have the ability there for you to register, and we'll get in touch with you as soon as we're ready to start collecting them.
At what point did you decide to do this? Was there a breaking point, Kristen?
Well, for me, I would say the breaking point to get super involved with this was our lack of reopening October 6th. We had a board meeting the end of September. I had, they were all in Zoom meetings, and I called in on that Zoom meeting with what I was going to say at that time. And by the middle of that board meeting, I tore up what I was going to say and just spoke from the heart, because we were allowed to open October 6th, and our board at that time decided to survey our parents to see what we wanted to do again.
Yeah.
And we'd been surveyed over the summer, which Mike had already mentioned, that all the parents wanted to go back in person. So why were they not, when they were told they could get the green light to go open October 6th, ready to just open the doors? They had the summer to prepare. They had August, September, and to prepare for that. So when they were now surveying, when they had the green light to open by the guidelines of the state of California and choosing to just survey at that point, that's when I became super involved with this organization.
Mike, what do you think's happening? Why didn't they reopen?
Well, I think, you look at, There's probably a lot of reasons. I think that, I think our board members, if you'd ask them, they felt like they were doing the right thing.
Right.
You can look at their voting record, and they continued to vote to not bring the kids back to school when they could. I think that that's their opinion. I think that there are a number of factors they considered, but I don't think that they put students first in those decisions. And I think they didn't put parents first in those decisions.
Well, then who'd they put first?
Well, I think that they were – our board, our district is very concerned with liability, I think. That's one that came up multiple times in our board meetings. I mean, they were worried that if somehow somebody got sick at school, they could be sued. Yeah. I think that was a big factor in their decisions.
Is that a wrong factor, Kristen, to be concerned about?
I don't think it's the factor. I think they were leading a little bit more through the fears of I mean, COVID was something that people were afraid of. So I think they were leading through fear instead of finding a way through. And we can talk about many other schools that have been open, many yeah. other districts that made those choices.
What have other school districts in California done?
Well, in our county, where we were, our county was one of the lowest COVID rates. So we had the option to open up earlier, and some of the districts did when they could. I believe there was that big board meeting that I'm talking about. Another one that happened in November, where the whole school county board of supervisors, the education board was there, and they were, Lucia Morris didn't even have a person at that meeting. And Penny Bornstein, the county health director, said, "You guys can apply for waivers." And our board, again, chose not to apply for a waiver at that time. So I think they were just kind of leading through fear.
Yeah, and I would say that, a lot of other districts decided that the science and the risk was higher if kids didn't come back to school. You look at the impact on mental health, you look at self-harm, you look at the risk to kids who are staying home unsupervised because their parents can't afford to quit their jobs to watch them. The risks, to those kids are extremely high, and we've seen that in our district. So I think that it was not a, you know, the correct decision that way.
Were the school board votes mostly unanimous?
Yes.
Okay. So if you only replace three, it's still going to be 4-3 against you. Why don't you go for four?
The main reason that we're choosing the three is because we have data on our website that you can actually go and look at video clips of what these board members have said. Right. We have reached out to the board as a whole, and a couple board members have been willing to have conversations with us. So I think they are a group that can be some can be more amiable than others. The main thing we're seeing is that these three were so strong in their opinions and made it political, and were leading with so much fear and were so very derogatory against the parents that it was just the parents that didn't agree with them. And they called parents hateful that were calling in and trying to fight for their kids. I'm like, this is a public school system where we should be able to advocate for our children. Mm-hmm. And if we disagree, we're not hateful.
Mike, give me an example of something that they did that was particularly offensive to you.
I think there was a number of times where Mrs. Martin in particular, talked about how she was celebrating election results. And I think it just became such a political spectacle at the meetings where people were trying to make this about politics. Another example is where one of our board members that we're recalling mentioned how they didn't trust the science that was coming out of our government because they didn't trust the president. And as soon as a new president was elected, all of a sudden now we can start focusing on bringing kids back to school. I mean, there was just it was just so politicized, I think, that was just so difficult to see that it wasn't about the science, it was about the politics.
So it's Stewart and Martin and Santos are liberal Democrats.
Well, I would say that they're liberals. I don't know their political registrations, but I think that they've made it clear through just numerous comments that that's where they stand.
That's your concern as well, Kristen?
That's not my concern. We shouldn't know that they're liberals.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my concern. They're board members that are supposed to be advocating for students in our community, families in our community, and we shouldn't know what their party affiliation is.
And I just add that, you know, in our group, we have Democrats and Republicans, independents, libertarians. I mean, we have all different political people who have joined with us in this. This is not a partisan issue.
All right, before the news break, Mike, please give out the information again as to how people can sign the recall petition.
So please visit our website, www.centralcoastfer.org.
And the deadline for doing this?
So we have not began collecting signatures yet, so please register and let us know you're a supporter, and we'll be in touch.
So you could be the first one to sign.
There you go.
They could do that.
That's right.
All right. So let's do this. Let's go to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Find out what's happening out there. And then Craig will update us on time saver traffic and weather together. And then what do you think? We will open up the phone lines. We have a lot of text messages coming in on the Stolberg line. That's fine. We'll give you a chance to call in as well. What do you think about this recall attempt against three members of the Lucia Morris School Board? You're listening to Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. We are in a conversation with Central Coast Families for Education Reform, and they will be invited back on a regular basis as this recall effort against Lucia Morris School Board members unfolds. Mike Mulder is here. Kristen Becker Brittingham also here. One question, I want to condense this on the text line, but I think this is legitimate off the Stolberg line. And Mike, let me go to you. Did you wait too long to bring this up? School year is almost over. By September, August, things will be probably back to normal. Is it too late?
I don't think so at all. I think this is the right time. We're going to be putting pressure on these board members to make a decision to put the kids back in school this fall, and we'll be right in the middle of collecting signatures. And I think if, you know, they continue to make decisions not putting kids and families first, you know, there's going to be even more people that are going to want them out of office.
Kristen, did you wait too long?
No, I don't think so. I think the main reason we're doing this is because if we sat back because they're telling us that we're going to open up in the fall, and then in one of their statements of saying we're going to open up in the fall and have a couple outs in there, and then we come back to a hybrid formula, we waited, we would have missed the opportunity to put the pressure on them and do what is right for the community.
What's the soonest a recall election can happen?
It's going to be still after our signature collection, a few months after that. So, you know, we're talking 6 to 9 months, depending on how long it takes.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Josh is in Pismo Beach on KVEC. Hi, Josh.
Hey there. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Yes, I just want to just let you and the listeners know that I support the recall effort. I support reopening the schools. And I'd like to see our local politicians start to support parents and support start considering also the mental health of our children, which I think many people have realized that, you know, that's been a big issue that kids have been suffering. So that's all I got to say. Just want to let you wanted to voice my support.
I'm glad that you called, Josh. Thank you. Talk about the mental health aspect.
Well, we our school district did have one student, which was very hush-hush, that did end up committing suicide, unfortunately. Mental health, these students, not everybody can advocate for their kids the way we have in our committee, because we have the time and we can put into it. We can keep our kids involved in private coaching, private tutoring, friend groups, or whatever. A lot of people can't. They've just been in distance learning at home, staying in bed. Hybrid is not perfect, but at least the kids are waking up and getting their butts back into a classroom.
Josh mentioned elected officials. Are any elected officials supporting the recall? Are you going to try to get their support?
Not at this point, but yeah, we'll be reaching out, and we have been to our local, many different local elected officials, and in the background, they've said that they support us. So,
meaning off the record.
We expect that to happen once we're formally collecting signatures.
Gene is in Shell Beach on KVEC. Hi, Gene.
Hi, just wanted to call and thank these brave people who've come forward on behalf of our kids and families in the community. The board, it just seems like, didn't allow for or didn't regard what the parents and kids were going through. They seemed beholden to the teachers' union, not individual teachers. I want to make a distinction there. It was the teachers' union that was a huge obstacle in all of this and just put roadblocks up.
Gene, hang on. That's an important point. Somebody talk about the union. Do you agree with what Gene is saying?
I do agree. I think the board is voted in, and they're actually the one who is in charge of our teachers and in charge of our superintendent. They're supposed to be the ones making the decisions, but unfortunately they're getting the pressure from the union.
Gene, what else you want to say, please?
Well, I would also add to that that when I've looked into a little of this, it looks like the teachers union actually has supported all of these board members that are now being recalled. They continue to support them, the teachers union does, which kind of says, maybe they're working hand in hand here. And the teachers union has even funded, partially funded a campaign, I believe, for one of the board members. So their loyalties are, you know, where are their loyalties?
Yeah. Mike, you share that concern, Mike?
Well, I think we all do that. You know, there's a number of things that we think the board was considering that weren't the right things. I think the science doesn't support it. I think when you look at all the different, you know, groups that supported kids going back to school, shutting schools just wasn't the answer. Kids would be safer back in school.
All right, Gene, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Either number brings you into the conversation. We've got Sandra at Arroyo Grande. Hey, Sandra.
Hi.
Hi, Sandra.
I have so much to say about this.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You're going to give me your main idea, Sandra. I only got an hour.
My main idea is I support the recall, and I'm willing to work really hard because these people have really failed every one of our kids.
Do you have kids in the school district, Sandra?
I do. And my daughter has been in therapy as a result of the decision this board has made.
Well, I'm not sure she wants that out in public, but talk about what it's been like for you as a parent.
Extremely difficult. Endless sessions, endless crying sessions. having to work with my children, having to work full time, it's been extremely difficult. And just this hybrid model, this distance learning, has not worked for many, many children. Every parent I have spoken to, it hasn't worked for anybody that I know of.
So what
I've spoken to many, many parents.
What do you think the recall accomplishes, Sandra?
It accomplishes to get new leadership. It accomplishes that we will get people who will represent the community, what is in the best interest of the children, and not what is in the best interest of some union or some, you know, somebody who just stays in power. That's not the purpose of the board. So we definitely need new leadership in here. These people just have failed us. They failed to listen to us. They failed our kids. And yet, the worst part of it is that they self-congratulate each other during every meeting. They spend 30 to 45 minutes just self-congratulating each other on what a great job they're doing. They're completely out of touch with the community.
But yet, Kristen, they get reelected each time.
Well, they're getting reelected because, unfortunately, I have the information here that, like I said, back in August, we needed to file that we would have run against them. And back in August, we were under the impression that our school was still trying to get us open full-time.
And right. People like us have woken up. I think that's the key thing is that, you know, we assumed that the board had our best interests at heart. We assumed that they would follow what parents wanted to do, and they haven't.
Sandra, what else?
What else I have to say is that this board has created a system of the have and a system of the have-not. The haves have taken their children out of public school and put them in private schools. The have-nots are stuck with what these people, with the decisions these people have made, and they got to go.
All right, Sandra, thank you. So the children going to private school, they're not going to come back, Kristen?
They may not if the board doesn't change. Our school could lose them for, you know, that's a lot of dollars that our school is missing out on all for long term and homeschooling.
Tim's in Pismo on KVEC. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Hi.
I really thank you guys for stepping up and doing this because as a parent of five kids in the district, well, actually one of my kids just went to college, I just felt helpless when I watch those board meetings and I take the surveys and then they keep repeatedly, you know, tease everybody that they're going to come back. I listened to that gal, Penny Borenstein, I think it was, saying that the schools can open up. The American Academy of Pediatrics supported having the students in school. My pediatrician friend that I know, she said there's been a huge increase in mental health issues, including suicide attempts. A friend of ours he went into his daughter's bedroom and she was attempting to hang herself. And I don't think people that don't have kids in school realize that no school-age kid has died of COVID in our county, but a lot of kids have died or been hurt from being quarantined and feeling lonely and depressed. And so I think they made a huge mistake by keeping the schools closed because when you balance out how much it's hurt our kids, not just grades, not just money, but just hurt the kids mentally, it's a whole year of lost, it's lost children. I'm watching my kid out here playing baseball right now. He's so doggone happy.
Well, good.
And
well, then Tim, let me suggest you get off the phone and focus on your kid. All right. I appreciate the call and I respect the passion.
Thank you.
Should be focused on your kid. But comment on what he's saying. Mental health challenges, we come back to that. You've brought that up before, Kristen.
Yes. Dr. Bravo has been a proponent.
Dr. Rick Bravo, we know him well.
Yeah. He has helped. I did a campaign earlier this year on Let Them Play movement. We did a big campaign on that and getting the kids back into sports. And he has spoken about child and mental health. And the pediatrics in the state of California have all said that they need to be back in school and involved in things. So,
What's San Luis Coastal doing? Do we know? How is their response differ from yours?
They've been in a lot of ways similar to us, but we've been even further behind. As an example, right now, in order to meet with the board, our board is asking everyone to be vaccinated or COVID tested, which we don't understand is if it's even legal, but that's their current position. And even in San Luis Coastal, you can go comment at the board meetings. So
they want the students vaccinated?
No, they want the parents.
The parents.
Our board has said that in order to comment in person at a board meeting, you have to be vaccinated or COVID tested.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you look at just in terms of our county, they're definitely very extreme.
And you don't want to be tested?
What's that?
You don't want to be tested?
I don't think it's something that is a requirement, and I don't think that if you look at the current health guidelines is a requirement. If you look at, for example, you know, just getting kids back in school, they're not requiring testing. They're requiring normal precautions, and we're not disputing any of that. I think that if you follow the CDC, CDPH, there's ways to get kids back in school safely.
Yeah. And Chris, what about testing for going to school board meetings?
I don't think that's necessary. I don't think they can mandate that personally. I think it's they're basically trying to, quote unquote, open it up so that they're open with putting all these mandates out there so nobody comes.
Before the next call, I get a lot of text messages here. I have teachers. What about protecting the teachers? Wasn't that the job of the school board to protect the teachers from being exposed to COVID?
Well, I can say something on that.
Sure.
I have several of my friends who are teachers, and I know that they have not enjoyed the school year. They don't get into teaching to be not around their kids and be able to hands-on help them. I get that there's fears out there. There has been plenty of essential workers that have been back in their field, whether it's nurses or doctors, paramedics, grocery store workers, Costco, you can mention all of them, pharmacy workers, any of them that have been back in the classroom or in their job working. How are teachers any more special than anybody else? I've gone on a flight where I'm sitting three people next to me that I don't even know. That's somehow okay, but kids can't be in a classroom.
Yeah, but your husband also got COVID.
He did, and we're okay.
Okay.
And so.
We got Lisa in Pismo on KVEC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to call in and say thank you so much to these parents for taking these board members on. I am a parent of two students in the Lucy M. Marr School District. I did pull them out because of everything that happened, and I didn't want them want their grades slipping any further than they already were. And once I found out that the schools were not going to be opening, I, you know, just continued to keep them in the program that they're currently in. And I'm appalled. I can't believe that they continue to not allow our students go in person full time. I'm also a working parent. Right. And trying to juggle teaching my kids. If I wanted to be a teacher, I would have gone to school to become a teacher.
So, Lisa, Lisa, when will you send them back? Or will you send them back?
I'll send them back when and if they go back full time.
Okay.
There's a lot of parents like me, we can't do this. I mean, the hybrid model is like 2.5 hours a day, you know, between commuting and getting them back and forth. And I don't have family or, you know, a lot of friends that could help me get them to and from. It's just ridiculous. And I just really appreciate these parents taking them on.
Right.
And doing that. And one more, I can make one more point.
Sure.
The thing that really upset me was when Don Stewart voted against having resource officers in our high schools. I could not believe that I was listening to him vote that in, or vote against that.
Was that a unanimous vote?
It was not. It was just his own personal bias, I guess, about that. But that's just absurd. That's safety for our kids.
But was
totality.
Yeah, but was he in the minority on that vote?
He was.
Okay.
So thank goodness
okay.
It didn't pass.
All right, fair enough. Lisa, thank you. Any comment on what Lisa's saying here?
Actually, what she said about Don Stewart is one of the reasons he's kind of pulled out is the bias against the law enforcement is a political viewpoint, which puts our kids in danger. So that's actually part of the point of having him be a recall.
All right. Alyssa, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Alyssa Ruiz. I am a mother of eight. Three have gone through the system. Five are left in the system. I pulled two of my kids out, the ones in elementary school, because we live in the country and we have really spotty internet. And so, of course, the high schoolers and the junior high child were the ones who got to work on that. I had to pull my kids out, the little ones, And I started to homeschool, which did not work out very well. And then I had to hire a teacher. I had to hire a teacher to come to my house to teach my kids at $900 a month. Also,
All right, wait, let me get Kristen comment. $900 a month.
Well, and this is the thing. Some of us can do this. Some of us have done different things to help our kids stay healthy and up to par of what they need to do. But not everybody can do that. There's so many people that are being left behind.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I have a child that is a phonological dyslexic, third grade, no resources whatsoever for him during this entire time. I called everybody. I called the school, I called the district, anybody I could find to help me with this issue with him. And this is, they get money for him being on an IEP program. And they reached out, and they did say, we can only help children that are in our school.
Right. The school board, the school board said that?
The school that I called. I called the resource person at our elementary school.
And they said but now we're off topic because we're focused on the school board. I appreciate the call. Jim is in the Pomo on KVEC. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jim.
Listen, I had seven of my eight children matriculate through the Lucy Marr School District, and now I have three grandchildren. My question, which I don't hear anybody asking, is this. If the main reason for the teachers not coming back is fear of infection, they can be vaccinated. If the vaccine, in fact, works, then if they're vaccinated, they are immune. They can't get or give the virus, and they're dealing with the lowest risk group there is, and that's kids. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
The science just isn't behind this, and so I think the more you look at that, the more you're going to be convinced that it doesn't make sense.
Let's not have that debate here. All right, that's a whole separate show.
No, I'm sorry, not vaccine specifically. I'm just talking about specifically with kids returning to school.
Right.
The science is clear.
The science is also clear that the kids are carriers of COVID.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're not going to dispute the science. But, I think when you look, go ahead, caller.
But if you're vaccinated, you're immune. You can't get or give the virus. It's the unvaccinated that are threats to other unvaccinated people.
All right. Jim, thank you for the call. Let me just jump in here. I have multiple reports of an active shooter in the Margarita area of Prado Road. This is between Broad and Higuera. So people are asking about the sirens. People are asking what is going on. We have multiple reports of an active shooting on Prado Road between Broad and South Higuera. I would avoid that area, and we will try to get you details. We will come back and continue our conversation right here on AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. There is still plenty of time to visit Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria and take advantage of the special that continues. I'm talking about fresh beef back ribs at $3.99 a pound, apple or blue cheese sausage, either one, only $4.99 a pound, filet mignon, $9.99 a pound, boneless New York steaks, the sale continues, $12.99 a pound. You can get locally grown sweet strawberries for $1.99 a pack. Avocados continue on sale for 99 cents each. Sweet white corn, two for 99 cents. Naval oranges, 99 cents a pound. Large tomatoes, ginormous, 99 cents a pound. You guessed it. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor, the Dave Congleton Show. Let me squeeze in Piper in Arroyo Grande on KVEC. Hi, Piper.
Hi, Mr. Congleton.
Call me Dave.
We're fine to talk in regard to the active shooter. We don't need to. Okay, so I've been listening to this for a few minutes. My husband called me. He was on his way home from work from Santa Maria, and he loves to listen to you. And I guess I just want to say, you know, this is an engaged, passionate group of parents, and I've seen several of them on school board meetings. But I just, as somebody who's put four children through LucyMR, I was extremely involved with boosters and PTO.
I got one minute, Piper.
What?
I got 1 minute. And please make your point.
Okay. Well, and now I work for the district. I just wonder, have we talked about the cost to the general fund for this recall election of over $300,000? Have we talked about the fact that we've got teachers working so hard and administration every day, including myself, to serve these kids? I just think some of this is short-sighted. So with 1 minute, that's what I have to say, is let's think about the cost of the general fund and the fact that that money could be going towards kids. And also, if folks are this upset, then they should run. They should step up and serve. That would be wonderful.
Piper, I so appreciate the call, but I am literally out of time. Thank you for calling. And thank you to our guests, Mike Mulder and Kristen Becker-Brittingham. I'll get the name right yet. Mike, you got about 30 seconds for a final thought.
I just want to invite people to join us, look at our webpage, do their own research, make up their own minds. This is about our kids. This is about making the best choices for them, and we hope that you'll support us.
Kristen?
I am in agreement with what Michael just said. We are a group of parents that make up not just this small committee. It's plenty of people that are coming out of the woodwork in our community because they're appalled at what has not been done when it has been approved to be open. And we are just trying to put the pressure on the board to get these kids back in class.
Mike, that website one last time, please.
CentralCoastFER.org.
All right, folks, thanks for coming. Keep us posted on your campaign.
You bet.
Thank you.
Let me just give you an update here. It was reported about 5:20 p.m. near South Higuera and Margarita Avenue. There was or is an active shooter. So I would avoid that area. We'll give you an update when we come back. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show.